I just thought before I moved forward a little bit, I really sensed God, you know, just like kind of settle on us, you know, and you know, like I've gone kind of full circle where, you know, I used to think, you know, you had to beg God to show up places, and now it's kind of like I've kind of come to, you know, we are, you know, we're Christians, you know, we're Christ carriers, you know, he lives in us by the Holy Spirit, so he's in us. And like the little verse, it's actually a humongous verse, but it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like Christ is in you, and it's one of my favorite things right now, is that like the idea that Christ is in me. It's a huge relief. Like, because that's where the glory comes from, you know. We want God to get all this glory. And it really comes from Christ in us. And, man, I've got this really... He's 32, so he's just 33 or 4, maybe. Or under 40. And he's my age, but I'm, you know, I'm 47 now. But I'm just kidding. And you guys are like... You can feel the air suck out of the room. I'm 31, but this guy is about my age, so he's in my age realm. And you guys, I feel like, are in my age realm too, but he's more in my... I don't know why I'm even saying all that. But he's like really smart, like spiritual smart. You know, there's like textbook smart, and then there's like spiritual, like life theology smart, and there's also like head theology smart, and there's like heart theology smart, and he's probably both, but like what I get from him is like his heart theology stuff. And he said the coolest thing the other day is like, you know, like we're the body of Christ, you know. And he always starts out these conversations, and he's always like, looks like he's about to jump out of his skin, and his eyes are kind of bugging out. And he was like, I got this idea. Would you quit looking like Eeyore? You know? And he's like, you know, if we're Christ's body and Christ longs to worship the Father, you know, then when the body gathers to worship, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, it just wants to rise up and worship him. So like the greatest thing is like when we all get together, it's like Christ in us. It's just like bubbling up, ready to say all these great things to God. And I just love the Christ in me. I like it because of that, what I just said, you know, here he is in the midst of us, wanting to bubble up and say all these great things to God. And then I've spent a lot more time in the world lately, you know, and when I mean that, I don't mean it like I've been out doing weed. And I don't mean it like that. I mean it like I've been trying to like be like, you know, just with people, you know, and just loving on people and being a good friend and trying to be a good neighbor and you know, finding musicians that aren't necessarily worship leaders and believing in them, you know, and just trying to be out there. And I've had this, you know, this as I go out, you know, because I kind of grew up in a way. I left the church about 9th or 10th grade. I kind of did my own thing for a while. But I grew up with, you know, everyone warning me, you know, stay away from the crazy people that aren't inside the church. And so I used to get nervous of, you know, people like they were going to give me a disease if I was with them, you know. And then, you know, when I got saved really radically. I mean, I just like... burst into flames, practically, like not hell flames, but God flames. And I just was ready to just go for it, whatever that meant. And so I just would, you know, I just thought, you know, well, those people out there, just they ain't going to do nothing but slow me down, you know. And but now, like, I've come again full circle on this thing where, like, that's what Jesus did. And I know we talk about that all the time. Like, Jesus was out with the people and he spent time with them, you know, and he loved on them, and he was at sinners' houses and, you know, all these people, you know, everyone was always surprised at where he was and how who he was hanging out with, you know, and they'd look at him and they'd be like, I don't understand, you know, and but I've that person that walked on the earth all that time, which the insane thing is that by the Holy Spirit he lives in me. And I'm a Christ carrier, you know, and I can go places and I can have full confidence that, like, God inside of me, you know, like you read about the ministry of reconciliation, like you're an ambassador and God is inside of you, reaching out through you, reconciling people to himself. It's a really weird concept because you don't actually ever see the arms reaching out. But if you did, that might be a little cool. And maybe more people would get saved. Because they'd be like, you got four arms, man. But this little idea is intriguing because that God's life is proactively reaching out through me to people. So if I were always with Christians, which I've spent a whole lot of time the last 13 years with Christians, but if I were always with Christians, you know, it's like, yes, you know, we're interacting around Jesus and our faith and our devotion, but I'm never giving God inside of me a chance to reach out through people. So, like, me and my wife decided we were going to be proactive, not like passing out tracts. I've got no problem with people passing out tracts, but we've decided not to take that route in terms of sharing our faith. And so we just started to befriend people. We have befriended some of the strangest people, but we've gotten real close with our neighbors, you know. And we live in this neighborhood where there's all these different kinds of people, and we'll go over there for dinner and we hang out and we get in the strangest conversations. And I've always kind of tried to hide what I do, and you're all going, why are you trying to hide what you do? But I haven't known how to, like, explain it to people all the time. I'm a worship leader. Okay, what's that? You know, I'm not sure. I lead campfire songs or something. You know, it's like, what is it that I really do? And but they start getting, what do you do? Well, I'm a musician, you know, and I write songs. And a lot of the songs, you know, that I write, I try to help people, like, talk to God. And I try to help them have words to talk to God. Well, that's really intriguing. You know, why are you even thinking about that? Well, you know, so some churches, they'll sing some of my songs that help them talk to God, you know. And I try to help them communicate with God, because sometimes we just don't have the words to do that. And that kind of takes them to this whole other place. And then, you know, so they know I'm gone all the time, you know, traveling around and stuff. And we live this weird life. I mowed my yard at 10 a.m. and they're like, I saw you out there. You not work? You know, it's like, no, I was leading campfire songs the night before. So, anyways, and so then all my neighbors started, like, you know, hunting me down on the internet, like Charlie Hall, you know, just doing Google searches, you know, and all this stuff pops off. And apparently I'm also a rap artist, you know, and a DJ. And but all this stuff comes up, and they'll end up ordering, like, a CD, you know, online, and then, you know, kind of study. And then usually after they get it and they listen to it for a little while, they show up and they look at me in a totally different way. They're kind of like, you still want to come over for dinner, you know? And it's just weird. So anyways, this lady that lives down the street from us, she lost her baby like on the eighth month or something, really horrible. And we had been having dinner at her house, and she comes down, you know, and she's like, this is like after she lost her baby, like a month later. She's like, hey, we just got Charlie's CD, this, you know, On the Road to Beautiful. I got this song on this new CD. I got a song called On the Road to Beautiful, and it came out of me losing my sister to cancer. And so it's got this song that's kind of this journey of, like, I'm still coming after you, God, even though I'm a bit confused, like, whether I'm up or down, I'm still kind of after you. And so she comes down, and she's like, we got Charlie's CD, you know, and And it immediately kind of makes me and my wife kind of lock up because we don't want to lose our relationship with them. You know, do you guys ever feel that way? Like, if you start, and I hope I'm not like being Debbie Downer, but I've got a point, and I want to speak it out. But sometimes we're a little ashamed, like, of what we're about or what we do, and we make it unnatural because we are ashamed of it or embarrassed. So when we start talking about it, it becomes unnatural. It's like you go into like robot mode, Romans 3:23, and just everything you ever learned growing up, you're a kid, you just start kind of sputtering it off, and then everybody in the room starts feeling weird. It's like, I gotta go. Wages of sin, what are you saying? And so she comes over to our house, and I'm gone, and she's like, we got Charlie's CD, and my wife immediately like starts going, you know, hey, you know, about that, this is, you know, this is our faith, you know, and we love God, and we don't always get it, but we really want to love God and run after Him, and we're always afraid to make friends and them find out and not want to be with us anymore. And she immediately, like, just my wife's vulnerability on that topic, you know, just saying what she was feeling and thinking, made this lady start talking about, you know, the baby and losing it. And like, our vulnerability and our natural, you know, just being natural and talking through things and talking out things really frees people. So, like, even being, like, ashamed of your faith is a great way to start a topic, I think. Like, I have no idea why I'm ashamed of my faith. Like, it's basically because I love you so much that I don't want to lose our relationship, but yet this is such an important thing to me, and so I just want to bring that out into our relationship. And then another thing we started doing was, well, in terms of just being with people naturally, so we meet this girl at this coffee shop, and she's actually recently started going to church, you know, so we usually throw out a couple of generic spiritual things just to kind of see where people are, and she's recently started going to church and pursuing, you know, the person of Jesus, you know, so okay, we're like, okay, she's a believer in Jesus, you know, we start there. Once we get into it, it's like, she's 3 months old in the Lord, she's coming out of this lesbian relationship, and so that's always like a, you know, whoa, you know, can't go to Disney World, you know, and you know, like, you remember when everyone stopped going to Disney World and because of all the, I don't know, most of you don't know what I'm talking about, but apparently we banned Disney World at one point, and you know, and so here's this girl, and she's trying to pursue Jesus, she's coming out of this lesbian relationship. We're like, hey, let's just pull her in and have dinner with her. She just came over to our house, and all of a sudden she's hanging out with us, and so we start getting deep into her life, you know, because we want her to keep walking toward Jesus, and she's intent about it, but she's got some ties. So, you know, we start talking, I'm kind of interviewing her. I'm saying that sounds real staunch, but I'm just trying to dig into her heart, and apparently her old girlfriend is a friend of mine from high school, you know, and actually this girl from high school, you know, it was when I was really wild. And so, like, we were good friends, and I really, like, knew her. And then when I got saved, I met her little brother. I worked for Young Life for a while. I did junior high wildlife. And her little brother came to wildlife one night. And I said, dude, let's hang out sometimes, because when you're at Young Life, you're like, you've got to hang out with people. And, and apparently that's what Jesus did too. But so, like, we went and hung out, and I just got right to it. You know, I was like, dude, you know, I'm about Jesus, and He just radically changed my life, you know. And he's like, I need that. And he prays this prayer, and he radically gets saved. So this is her brother. So my next connection to her was, she just saw this, you know, not Charlie on drugs, but Charlie on flames, God flames, not hell flames. And she's just like, what's going on, you know, and so So then I start talking to her. So I meet her for coffee, and we're hanging out, and we're getting caught up. And she's saying, my brother isn't doing very well, you know, and he's walked away from God, and he's been on massive drugs, and he's tried to kill himself several times. And so all of a sudden, I'm in this place where we've got this girl in our life that we're walking her to Jesus. I'm back in the life of someone I've led to Christ a while ago. That's his life is freaking out, and I'm throwing out a line to an old friend that I'm just trying to show her, you know, look, you know, I was on the phone with her today before I came here. She's talking about her brother. She's talking about her ex-girlfriend who hangs out with us all the time that won't talk to her anymore. And she's like, my life is like freaking out, falling apart. And I didn't say, you know, because you're not supposed to have this lesbian relationship and your brother's not supposed to be on drugs. I just said, you know, this is hard. I mean, you feel like you're losing your brother. You feel like you've lost the love of your life. And I just want to tell you, I just want to pray for you and just say, you know, that, you know, in my faith, when I quit clinging to things that are going to fade away, whether it's people or things, and I start clinging to God, my heart comes alive. And I said, I just want to pray for you. And she let me pray for her. She's like, of course, you know. She's hungry for it. And it's because I was trying to talk to her from her, not from me. You know, not what I think she should be doing, but what was going on. And I just said, you know, this is good, you know. You're coming to a place where you can see. Okay, so before I do some more songs, I'm kind of coming to this last little chunk here. You know, everyone's started to hear over time, like worship started getting really popular. And when I say worship, I mean like worship music. And worship music started getting real popular, and all these popular worship bands and all this great stuff's going on. Well, to the point where speakers started saying, you know, guys, that songs aren't worship. Worship is your life, you know. And so now everybody kind of is on that page. You know, worship is our life. Yeah, worship is our life. And I realized how many times I would say as I'm leading, you know, worship with your heart. Worship with your heart. And I started wondering why I said that all the time. Like, it sounded really cool, but I was like, what am I saying? And so I look it up in my little computer program, Bible program, and I type it in, and over 700 verses pop up for heart, and they're good verses. And so I'm going to just give you a summary, and I'm not talking from my notes, but the summary is this. Here's what's inside your heart. Dreams, secrets, yearnings, passion, songs. It's like where you trust God in your heart, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's a bunch of other things, but your heart can also be hardened. It can be renewed. It can be broken. So it goes on. It names all this stuff. Okay, so then you think about that little verse, and everyone always says it, you know, and God is the one that speaks the verse. He says, my people, you're worshiping me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And so if you think about what he's saying, you know, you're singing songs, but your hearts are far from me. Like your dreams and your songs and your yearnings and your passions and all that is far from me. Your trust and all that's over here. And come worship me with your heart, you know. And so my big idea is an ancient idea, and it's said in 1,000 different ways to this day. But what I wanted to say is, like, part of your worship is living out this life that affects everything around you. So as I'm with my neighbors and I'm with my, you know, my new friends, and I'm on the phone with old friends, I'm just thinking to myself, part of my worship right now is just living out all the stuff that God's put in me, you know, and just the depth of love for life and for people that He's put in me, and how I want to see people excel, and I don't want to see them drop off the earth, you know. And so that's impacting, and that's part of my worship, you know. So I'm on the phone, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, I am worshiping You right now, Jesus, and I don't have to say a word about it. I'm worshiping You just by listening and by being and talking. So so I want you to just listen to something for just a second. And maybe it'll make sense. Maybe you'll walk away and go, I don't understand why Elizabeth Elliot didn't come. It's weird not having a band because I realize how bad a guitar player I am.
Your kiss and grace, I'm a weakling in the dust. And teach me how to cling to You with all my life and all my love. And Father, come to me. Barely stand. My strength is gone and my breath is short. I can't reach out my hands, but my heart is set on a pilgrimage to heaven's own bright King. So in faltering of victory, I will always sing. On the road so beautiful, my seasons always change, but my life is spent on loving You, to know You in Your power and pain. Father, come to me, hold me up, as I can barely stand. My strength is gone and my breath is short. I can't reach out my hands, but my heart is set on a pilgrimage to heaven's own bright King. So in faltering or victory, I will always sing. You're my portion in this life. You're my strength now in my fight. And to You I pledge my heart. In the pain, I love You. I love You. Yeah. I love You. And I sing for those who have no words left to sing. Lost their songs to the broken, confused, weary, tired of walking. know? Have you not heard? The Father does not get weary. Does not get tired of you. So when the young man falls, when the young woman walks and faints, he says, rise, come and rise. He says, rise, rise.
My thought is that I want to be like 90. If I live to 90, that I want to keep being like, that I'm still going for it. So I'm trying to figure out the pieces. There's some pieces that help us go for it forever. And find those things and grasp them. And the life of Jesus, you know, it's more than just like, church is a very important piece, like belonging and having a spiritual group of people that's pursuing Christ in faith. But being like Jesus, living His life, it's crucial. And sometimes we put so much emphasis on being at church, that it's hard to be like Jesus. And so my encouragement is run forever. And the way you do that is to do the things of God, the things that Jesus did. One of those includes being a part of a faith, a group of faith, a community of faith. And there's a whole lot of other things to it. Well, I want to invite you to stand. And this is kind of a newer song for me. It talks about the life that we run into, you know.
Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross You are the truth, You are the life, You are the light. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross You are the truth, You are the life, You are the way. I once was fatherless, a stranger with no hope. Your kindness wakens me from my sleep. Your love, it beckons deeply.
a call to come and die. By grace now I will come and take this life, take your life. Sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victoriously. To marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you wore the truth, you wore the life, you wore the way. Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you wore the truth, you wore the life, you wore the way. My dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. Your breath fills up my lungs, now I'm free, now I'm free. Sing that again. My dead heart now is beating, my deepest stains now clean. Your breath fills up my lungs, now I'm free, now I'm. Sin is lost, sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victorious. Sin is lost, sin has lost its power, death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way. To marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life.
We're going to sing Sin Has Lost Its Power, and I want you to sing it over some people that you're caring about right now, some people that are full on your heart, you know. You know, I know a lot of us in here, you walk in some shame, and there's nothing worse, you know. I mean, shame is heavy, you know, and that's one of the things that He freed us from. That's why this is good news. There's life, you know. Some of us have things in our past that sure could beat us up over the head, but He freed us from that, and we want to run out of that. So some of you guys just need to sing it over yourself, maybe. And I think you can do both, but I'd love it if some people just kind of thought about some people that were on your heart, you know. And I've got a whole lot of people that I sing this over. That's part of how I worship, you know. Sometimes I sing for myself, sometimes I'm praying it for somebody else. We're going to sing Sin Has Lost Its Power. And the beautiful thing about singing that over someone who hasn't found Jesus is it's the good news, you know. You're not saying, don't sin anymore, which is something we need to say sometimes. But we're saying, here's the truth, here's the good news, is this thing doesn't have power over you anymore. You can run from it. You can be free from it. You don't have to be beat up over the head anymore. That's good news to people. Jesus made a way. He gave life. So sing over yourself or sing over someone else. Sin has lost its power.
Sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victoriously again. Sin has lost its power. Death has lost its sting. From the grave you've risen, victorious. cross you won. Marvelous light. Into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth. You are the life. You are the way. Into marvelous light I'm running. Out of darkness, out of shame. By the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way.
That's awesome. We'll have one more seat. Let me just say a few more things, and then I'm going to pass it off to all the brothers and sisters that say different things at different times. I know you didn't have a choice, but thanks for not leaving once I got here. Thanks for listening. College is such a peculiar time, I think. It's such, it's pivotal. It was so pivotal for me that I decided to go for 6 years just to make sure I pivoted okay. Life, many of you guys already know this, but life will beat you over the head. But some of you don't know that yet, and you'll discover it down the road at some point just because it's life, you know. It's a crazy world. I kind of sound like I'm from Ireland. I don't know why I keep going, it's a crazy world. And I'm fixing to go to Ireland, and I'm pretty excited about it. But because it's so crazy, and America's a lot less crazy, but there's different kinds of craziness here in America. And there's lots of draws that draw on your flesh. The great thing about being fully alive in Christ is that you feel this freedom in this life, but I'm so drawn to so many things out there. And I don't want to get entangled in them, because if you get entangled in them, then life goes worse. I think a lot of that stuff feels good. For me and my wife were talking, really honest. And I was saying to her, man, she is beautiful. But I was just saying to her, I thought about affairs, and I was debating in my head, not that I had this chance to have this affair, but I assume that there's people out there that would, that you could get into an affair with. is that making everyone uncomfortable? I'm sure I could hunt someone down, that sounds like... But I was just saying to her, it's like... It might be, I might escape some sort of hard feeling for a moment. I might escape, something that's hard in our marriage. I might escape, a life that I'm fatigued of. But I would lose everything I love about this life. I would lose so much freedom because it's not that Christ couldn't give you freedom again, you're saved once and for all, but sin entangles you and messes with your soul, and then for the rest of your life you kind of bear this thing that can beat you over the head whenever the enemy chooses. So what's great about declining all the lusts of the flesh, which feel so good, they look good and they feel good, but what's good about declining them is you can walk free. you can be like, oh man, this is a good life. And so it's not just like, no, no, no. It's like, come, walk free until you're dead. You know? That'd be a great poster for the BSU. Come walk free till you're dead. And I want us to be free and not entangled. That's why I say that. That's the last thing. And then that's the last thing before this last thing. I have some music downstairs. There's two different CDs. And the way I'd like to sell them to you tonight, and I'm assuming there's going to be someone down there that'll sell them. And if there's not, there will be now. But the way I'd love to sell them to you tonight is kind of let you do like an offering and just get something, you know. And I have a good chunk down there, but just like in other words, for example, you have $5 and you want one, but you don't have $10 or $13, which is what they cost, then give me $5 and take it. Or if you don't have any money, you know, you got to be true, but get something, you know, just go down there and say to the whoever, I don't have any money, I'd like a CD. And it'd be best if you let all the people with money go first. And then here's the other side of it. This is the way, like, the body works. Is like, so if you've got extra money for some reason, like, you're blessed with mom, pa, you know, working for, you know, some place that makes money. You can be like, all right, my mommy and daddy gave me this. You can slap down, you know, the big 20 or whatever. But that's just I just want to offer it to you that way, and it'll be down there.